In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We will study tonight chapter 3 from the second letter of Saint Peter. In this chapter, Saint Peter is reminding us to pay attention to the words of the apostles that were recorded in the Old Testament and the words of the apostles that were recorded in the New Testament, and also to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially that some false teachers and some scoffers will cast doubts in the hearts of the people and will make them doubt the word of God regarding his second coming, his promise to come to the world, to judge the world, and to take his beloved and his chosen ones to the kingdom of heaven. And Saint Peter analyzed their accusation that nothing happened and the Lord is delayed. And he said, actually, this delay is an indication of the Lord's long suffering and patience. He's giving us a chance to repent. Also, he reminded them how during the time of the flood, the long suffering of God waited for 120 years, and the people did not pay attention, and they thought that God forgot his warning until the day of the flood came and flooded the world. So he told them, the day of the Lord will come as a thief, unexpected. That's why we as Christians, we need to focus on holy conduct and godliness. Because the long suffering of the Lord is opportunity for us to work on our salvation. Also, he mentioned to them that this doctrine is not his teaching, but it is the teaching of all the apostles as they received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told them, even Saint Paul wrote the same things about the second coming of the Lord. And he concluded this chapter, which is the last chapter of the letter, so he concluded the whole letter, by instructing us with admonitions to beware lest we fall, and asking us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to make conclusion to this letter, he concluded it with a doxology, glorification to Christ. This is actually the summary of the chapter, and now let us read it verse by verse. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Because he said, I write to you this second epistle, this language implies that the first epistle was also written to the same people to whom the second letter is also addressed. So he addressed both letters to the same people. And he told them, my object in both letters is to remind you, to stir up your pure mind, how to live a holy life. So the object was mainly to exhort them to holy lives. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord, and Savior. So, I am reminding you, St. Peter is saying, of the Christian teaching as shown by the prophets and the apostles. And these words of the prophets and apostles are the words of God. Because the prophets were sent by God, and the apostles are messenger of God. So, the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles are authoritative because they are the words of God. So he told them, I want you to pay attention to what's written in the Old Testament by the prophets and also the New Testament written by us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. So he told them, as we have the true teachers, like the prophets and the apostles, in every time there will be also false teachers and false prophets. But the number of the false teachers will increase greatly in the last days. And when we see many denominations, many teachers speaking in the name of Christ, but they don't actually teach the truth of the scripture, then this will be a sign of the end of the days. And he said, these teachers are not moved by the Holy Spirit, but they are inspired by their own lusts. They are inspired by their own desires, by their own indulgences. The true teacher is inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit, but the false teacher is inspired and moved by his own personal lusts, desires, and indulgences. And these people, instead of confirming your faith, actually they cast doubt on your faith. That's why he called them scoffers. Scoffers. Verse 4. These scoffers, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they are casting doubt on the promises of God. God promised that he will come again. But they are saying his coming is delayed. And we don't know for sure whether he is coming or he's not. And thus, all hope had ended. So, they take advantage of the delay of the Lord to destroy their faith, the faith of the believers. And he said, you know, from our fathers, when after they die, like from the beginning of the creation, everything is the same. the regular order of things continues right on as it was from the beginning. Everything is the same from the time of Adam until now. So we don't have any indication that the Lord is coming again. How St. Peter responded to this false teaching? In verse 5 he said, "For this they willfully forget." Willfully means intentionally they forget something happened in the world, speaking about the flood. So I think if they look at the flood, they wouldn't say this. Why the flood? "For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth is standing out of water and in the water." So he told them how God created the world. By his word. By his word. So these heavens were created by the word of God. And the earth is created, or the earth is standing out of the water and in the water. What does it mean that the earth is standing out of the water and in the water? This means water was the principal element in its formation. Actually, a scientific fact that 3/4 of its surface, of the surface of the earth, is seas and oceans, water. So the earth is standing out of the water. That's true. And water being found in the depth of the earth everywhere. When actually we dig inside the earth, we reach to the level of the deep water. So water actually on the surface of the earth and deep down in the earth. So he's saying God by his word and by the means of the water, he created heaven and earth. And also I want to remind you in Genesis chapter 1 that the water, there was a firmament, and the firmament separated between water above the firmament and water under the firmament. Water above the firmament, clouds. What are the clouds composed of? The clouds are water. So actually, and this considers the first heaven. So heaven and earth are made of water by the word of God. The same word that created heaven and earth and formed them from water, the same word used the water to flood the world. The same word. When the windows of heaven were opened and the old world was overflowed and perished with water. So he told them, by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth is standing out of the water and in the water. By which, by the water, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with the water. So the same word of God, as this word created and founded and formed heaven and earth from water, the same word actually destroyed the whole earth during the time of Noah by the flood. And this was against the nature, against the natural law. So he's saying, why you forget this? Why willfully you forget this? Because the same word that's preserving heaven and earth until this day, the same word also will destroy heaven and earth in the second coming of the Lord. That's why in verse 7 he said, but the heaven and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, the same word means the word of God, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So he's saying the same word that created heaven and earth out of water, the same word flooded the world by the water. The same word of God that's preserving heaven and earth until now, the same word actually will destroy heaven and earth in the second coming of the Lord, in which he will come to judge the world, and the ungodly people will perish on that day. So Saint Peter is saying the same word of God has always been sure. So as the prophet and as the apostles declared to us that the world, the earth and heaven are reserved for fire, this will happen. It's the same word of God. This destruction by fire will happen when the Lord comes and when perdition comes on ungodly men. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He is saying that these scoffers, these false teachers, using the delay of the Lord to cast doubt on his promises. But the concept of time does not exist for God. For God, the word delay does not exist, because he is above time. He is the one who created the time. Time is no element in the counsels of God. God doesn't have past, future, present. Everything for him is present. So how can I use a term that does not apply to God and use this term to cast doubts on the promises of God? The word delay does not apply to God. And God, he has eternity. Eternity, no beginning, no end. The concept of time is totally different. He has eternity in which to work out his purposes. God not under the restraint of time, he is above the time. And if for us who under the restraint of time, we consider this is as delay, but for God, actually God using this for a certain wisdom, he's given us opportunity to repent and for our salvation. So what we call it delay, it's actually a wise counsel from God. He is long-suffering and patient, calling more people to repent and to be saved. Verse 10, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So delay is not due to slackness. Delay is not due to slackness. But it is because the love of God, because he is long-suffering, he is patient. He does not wish that even one person will perish. He wants everybody to repent, because he does not desire the death of the sinner, but rather that he returns and lives. So see here the false teachers saying that the Lord did not fulfill his promise. But the true teacher say, no, that's actually wisdom from God. It is love, it is kindness, it's compassion, long-suffering, patience. He wants us to repent and to return to him. So, from verse 1 to 9, St. Peter focused on this message that God's promise is not slack. Then actually from verse 10 to verse 13, he's speaking about the day of the Lord. And when we say the day of the Lord, we are speaking about the day of his second coming, when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So he's saying the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Actually, the same words were said by the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, many prophets in the Old Testament said the same words. And St. Peter in his mind is comparing between the flood and the second coming of the Lord. God waited 120 years with long suffering and patience. Then the flood came as a thief and destroyed the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, as the time of Noah was, so the day of the Son of Man will be also. During Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, working, planting, until the flood came and destroyed the whole earth. That's why he is saying he comes as a thief, unexpectedly. While we don't think that he is coming, he will be coming. That's why we need to be watchful for the coming of the Lord. Then he explained how the day of the Lord will look like. During Noah, the world was destroyed by the water. But in the second coming of the Lord, the world will be destroyed by fire. And actually, the scientific research proved this will be true, that it will be through fire and explosions that how the world will end. That's why he said, the heavens will pass away with great noise. Of course, he is not speaking about the heaven of heavens, which is the throne of God, but speaking about heavens, which is the earthly heavens. Heavens in relation to the earth, like, you know, this clouds, or the firmament in which the birds fly, or the space and all the other planets, all these are called the heaven. So these heavens, the whole cosmos, the whole universe, will explode. and that's how the world will end. And because of these explosions, that's why he said, pass away with great noise. And because of the fires, the elements of the earth will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The earth and everything on it and in it will be completely burned up with fire and heat. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, it's a fact. If the Lord said so, this will happen. So, heaven and earth will pass away, as the Lord said. They will be dissolved by fire. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? The student, when he remembers the day of the exam, is more serious, more focused on his studies. In the same way, if you remind yourself with the second coming of the Lord, heaven and earth will pass away. If we remind ourselves that we will die and our life will end, actually, we will live in godliness and holy conduct. I remember one time I visited a priest in Cairo, in his office, and I found at the corner of his office, he put a casket. And I asked him what it is. He told me, this is my cat. I put it here in my office to remind myself that one day I'll be here standing before the throne of God. That is how serious he wants to take his life. And that's what St. Peter is telling us. That's why every night in the compliant prayer, the church reminding us that we will stand before the throne of God. Behold, I am about to stand before the throne of God. Remind yourself, remember that we will stand before the throne of God. If you are lacking zeal, if you are lacking motivation, if you find that the world is keeping you busy, but paying attention to the spiritual life, just think about the second coming of the Lord. Then you will conduct your life in holiness and godliness. Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The day of the Lord is a day of joy for the righteous, but it is a day of fear and trembling for the wicked. So, St. Peter is telling us, if you live a holy and godly life, you will be looking for the day of the Lord. As St. John the Beloved concluded the Revelation, Amen, come, O Lord Jesus. As St. Paul said, I have desire to depart and be with Christ. This is much better. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We will not be afraid from the day of the Lord. Actually, we'll be looking forward for this day, because it's a better life. It is a life that from which grief, sorrow, groaning have fled away. It's a life in which we'll be glorified, we'll be fully adopted. It's a life in which there is no sin, there is no hardships. It's a life in which we will be with our beloved God and enjoying being with Him. That's why the righteous, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord, the day of God. But the wicked, actually, this day for them is day of fear. They are scared from the day of the Lord, because they know this day will be day of judgment and condemnation for them. And then St. Peter confirms again that the world will be destroyed by fire, as he said, because of the day of the Lord, the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. So this fire will make the heaven melt and dissolve, and the element of the earth will melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Why you are looking for the second coming of the Lord? Because this world is full of wickedness, full of corruption. But the life to come will be life full of righteousness. That's why he said, we, according to his promise, God promised us with a new earth and a new heaven. So we are looking forward for these new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, only righteousness. There is no sin, there is no wickedness, there is no corruption, only righteousness. And in the book of Revelation, St. John told us, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. I remember one time I asked His Holiness Pope Shenouda, what does it mean, new earth and new heaven? So the way His Holiness explained it to me, he told me the place in which we the believers dwell will be like earth compared to the throne of God, which will be the heaven. So new, it's not a physical earth, it's not materialistic earth like the earth in which we are living right now, but new heaven and new earth, which means the place in which we will dwell, it will be new. Spiritual world new. So earth and heaven, God is speaking to us with our language. Now, how we understand earth and heaven? Earth is our place, heaven is the throne of God. So new earth and new heaven, because the first, the former heaven and former earth will pass away, so new earth and new heaven, it's our place with God, our place. Then actually, the last verses from 14 to 17, it is final admonition by St. Peter, how to be steadfast. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, while you are looking forward to the coming of the Lord, to the new heaven and new earth, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. In peace, as I told you, only the godly will have peace regarding the day of the Lord. But the ungodly will be anxious regarding the day of the Lord, because this day is day of condemnation for them. How they would have peace on the day of their condemnation. But he told us, be diligent. you need to take your spiritual life serious. This reminds me what he mentioned in chapter 1. In chapter 1 from the same letter, he said, be diligent to add to your faith. You need to add to your faith to grow. Add to your faith virtue. And add to the virtue knowledge. And add to the knowledge self-control. And add to self-control perseverance. And add to perseverance godliness. And add to godliness brotherly kindness. And add to brotherly kindness love. You need to add. Be diligent to add. So St. Peter is repeating the same thing here. If you want to have peace on the day of the Lord, then be diligent, be serious, grow in your faith, add to your faith. Also, to be found by Him on that day, by God, without spot and blameless. This actually reminds me of what St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. The Lord died on the cross, and He left for us His blood and the grace of the Holy Spirit working in the sacraments of the church. Why? To present us to Himself a glorious church without spot or blemish. We read it in Ephesians chapter 5. Without spot or blemish. St. Peter is using the same words. You need to be found in the day of the Lord without spot or blemish. Spots are signs of aging. When people grow in age, become old, their face will be full of spots. Blemish can be translated also wrinkling, which is a sign of aging. So, as we read in the Old Testament, He renew like youth your life. So He's saying, be diligent to be found in the day of the Lord. Youth in your spirituality, strong like the eagles, having wings of eagle to fly. Not aging like handicap, no, but I want you to be strong like youth without spot and blemish. Verse 15. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. What you call it delay, it's not delay, it's not slackness. It is opportunity for you to work on your salvation, that you will be found by Him without spot and blameless, in peace. So, don't think as the Lord is slack, but this is long suffering for us to work on our salvation. And He said, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. So He's saying that these are not my personal words. The words I'm telling you, these are the words of God. And because it is the same Spirit who inspired me, inspired St. Paul. So St. Paul also mentioned many times in his epistles, according to this heavenly wisdom, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he told you about the day of the Lord. Maybe he's referring here to the second letter of Thessaloniki. Because in the first letter, St. Paul spoke about the second coming of the Lord, especially in chapter 4. So people thought that the Lord is coming right now. That's why in the second letter to Thessalonians, St. Paul told them, no, there are signs about the coming of the Lord. Number one, the apostasy should happen, which is falling away. Number two, the man of sin should be revealed. So, St. Peter is saying, also St. Paul spoke to you, that the Lord is not coming immediately. There are signs before his coming. And this waiting is not slackness, but it is long suffering for us to work on our salvation. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, is speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. So he said in all his epistles, St. Paul spoke about second coming of the Lord. In Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, spoke about the second coming of the Lord too. And he spoke about how we should live our life in holiness and in godliness. He spoke in his letters about apostasy, like the Hebrew, his letter to Hebrews. He actually made five warnings against apostasy and falling away. So he said, as also in all his epistles speaking, St. Paul was speaking in them, in these epistles, of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. And that's true. The letters of St. Paul are not easy. They are difficult. That's why when we interpret the letters of St. Paul, we need to interpret them using this rule, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We need to interpret them from the scripture, and as the church fathers interpret them. Unfortunately, many denominations started because of wrong interpretation of St. Paul's letter. For example, salvation by faith only, and attacking works. This is wrong interpretation of the letters of St. Paul, like Romans chapter 4. And many denominations, because they interpret the doctrine and the teaching of St. Paul in a wrong way, that's why they drifted away from the truth. And St. Peter is warning us here. In the letters of St. Paul, some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. Untaught means they are untaught by the Holy Spirit. And unstable because they changed the teaching that was delivered to us from the fathers. Like when after 16th century I changed the teaching about communion, that's instability. A teaching that lasted in the church for 16th century, that this is a real body and real blood, if I change it after 16th century and I deny the reality of the change of bread and wine into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is instability. And St. Peter is telling us, the untaught, those who do not listen to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the Church Fathers, and unstable, those who change the faith that once delivered to the saints, untaught, unstable people twist to their own destruction. To their own destruction. This twist will end up by their own destruction. And they are poor because they don't know when they interpret the scripture wrong, then the scripture that was intended for their own salvation, by wrong interpretation, it will end up for their own destruction. And they don't only twist the letters of St. Paul. but also twist the rest of the scripture. Arius twisted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "My Father is greater than I." He twisted this teaching to say that Jesus is not God. That's why St. Peter said, "As they do also the rest of the scriptures." And here, very, very important advice. Don't rely on your own understanding in interpreting the scripture. Go to church fathers. Go to the holy tradition. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Interpret the Bible by the Bible itself. Don't take one verse and make a doctrine out of it. Otherwise, wrong interpretation of the scripture is very serious. It will end to their own destruction, as St. Peter said. Their own destruction. Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand," then since I told you about the day of the Lord, that he is not delaying out of slackness, but it's his long suffering, his patience, his mercy, for you to repent and to be saved. Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, lest you fall from your own stability. Instead to be confirmed in your calling, as he said in chapter 1, make your calling and your election stable. Make your calling and your election stable. So I'm warning you, lest you fall these false teachers, and you will fall from your steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. And he called the false teachers here the wicked. So be careful. Be careful. Examine carefully, lest you follow a wolf instead of a shepherd. The wolf does not come except to destroy and to kill, but the good shepherd lays his life for his sheep. Beware, lest if you are led away by the error of the false teachers, you will fall from your own steadfastness. Now you know there are false teachers out there. Be careful, be watchful. Verse 18. But grow. Again, St. Peter, the message of his letter is encouraging us to be diligent in our spiritual growth. Grow. Add to your faith. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace. The grace is a gift. Free gift given to us, but we need to grow, which means to use this grace for our growth. The grace is a free gift given to us. For what purpose? For us to grow in spiritual maturity and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some people only know about the Lord. But here St. Peter is telling us, no, I want you to grow in his knowledge, to know him, not just to know about him, but to know him. And as I said before, this what makes Christianity different than any other religion. Any other religion, just set of principles. Do this, don't do that. And you do it in your own. But Christianity is not set of principles, set of commandments you need to follow. Christianity is a relationship with Christ. And through this relationship, you will be transformed and you will be converted from glory to glory to his own image and his own likeness. That's why if you want to keep the commandments of God without having relationship with Christ, you will fall. You will fail too. And you don't understand what Christianity is. You would think Christianity is like another religion, like all these religions. But Christianity is not a list of commandments you need to follow. Christianity is a relationship with God. That's why God came to us. That's why God became man, in order for us to enter into this relationship. And only through this relationship you will grow, and you will be transformed, and you will change from image to image to his likeness. It is impossible to do this outside the relationship. That's why he told them, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he concluded by doxology, by saying, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Glory to him. Glory to him because he loved us. Glory to him because he saved us. Glory to him because he is long suffering and patient with us. Glory to him because he does not wish or desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he returns and lives. Glory to him, not only now, but both now and forever. Amen. And this actually concluded the second letter of St. Peter, in which he reminded us how we need to work diligently on our spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.